welcome to Kiss the Crest, a weekly podcast where we talk about football news, football scores,
football video games, football
FIFA or PES. That is the big question,
or
Sean.
FIFA, which is your favorite acronym?
Oh, FIFA.
Oh, well, I think FIFA is still way more popular, so I don't think. And it's funny because I didn't even know Konami still makes video games.
Oh, they do.
Check out the other our other podcast, The Unwind, to hear us not talk about it, but possibly talk about other video games.
Yeah.
As usual, I am your host, Sean Thomas.
I'm Rob Steller.
So, we are missing one of the trio.
For good reason, though.
For a very good reason.
Yeah.
He is at a football pitch right
now.
He's just sleeping.
Dave Linata.
Dave is sleeping on a football pitch right now,
waiting
for Champions League to start. He hasn't left his spot.
Yep.
He needs to make sure he gets there for the big game. So he's in Portugal right now.
Yeah.
And he is going to see some football matches. So he's going to be out for the next 2 weeks.
Seeing Porto play?
Yeah, Porto and twice?
Lisbon? Is the other game playing?
I don't know. We'll have to ask him when he comes back. But when he comes back, we'll get to hear his experiences from there. But he's going to be gone for probably two shows. So you're stuck with us. But we missed a week or so.
Two weeks.
Okay. So we have
which happened to be
lot.
The 2 weeks where everything happened.
Yeah. This is terrible. Yeah. Terrible time to take it off.
It's Sean's fault.
So what we're going to do is we are going to skip the topic for today and we're just going to go into scores. Now, you know, it is already, I don't know, the future from that point. So obviously you don't want to hear about every score in the past. We're only going to go over some basic things. There were some big matches that we have to talk about, but we're just going to run through it. We're going to run through all the major leagues and then also go over Champs League because that actually happened last week as well. But we're going to try and get through it. Please bear with us and let's get into it.
All right, so let's start in the French League, and we have unexpected leaders.
Unexpected.
Yeah, in Nice are now, after six games played in the league, four wins, two draws, zero losses, the only team that has not lost a game yet, and they've actually played against some of the bigger teams. They got a 3-2 win against Marseille, and they also got a big 4-0 win over Monaco.
Bala Balotelli!
And who is the striker behind this assault? Balotelli, of all people. And Sean pointed out, he's done something that I don't think I've ever seen him do. Smile.
He smiled. And it was, honestly,
I saw his, that's unfair. There were times at Milan, the first time he was with us, where he did genuinely seem like he was enjoying his play.
But there was something, like, I'm not a big fan of Balotelli. I feel like there's things he's done to kind of piss his career away, but it was kind of nice to see him. He after his first goal, he does the normal Balotelli serious face, and then the players start coming over, and he just has the biggest grin.
His teeth.
Yeah,
I saw his teeth.
So that's cool to see. So he actually has, I mean, I can't believe we're freaking talking about Balotelli again, but he has four goals in three games.
But it's for a good thing.
yeah, it's a good thing. He scored two goals in the first game, and then I think he scored two goals in the Nice game. So pretty good strike rate. We'll see how it is.
As an Italia fan too, it's good to see him finding form because he's been out of the team for a while, and I think we are really lacking. We have no strong striker right
now.
Yeah,
I mean,
so,
who's Pelle?
Pelle, and I mean, it would be great to see him break into the team again. So that's really good. PSG had a couple of wins recently. Big 6-0 win over Cyan. 3-0 win over Dijon. They also had a 1-1 draw against Arsenal in the Champions League, which we'll talk about. They drew against Saint-Étienne, and then I think we had mentioned this, but they lost against Monaco.
Oh, yeah. I only thought they dropped 3 points. I didn't realize they dropped five, essentially, because they drew. Yeah. They've been doing well. I mean, it's
they
weird.
They are scoring because they have 15 goals, and they've only given up four.
That's the weird thing. When they're scoring, they score in bunches, but they also lose and draw.
Three of the four goals has come in one game against Monaco that they've given up.
Oh, really?
It's crazy, right?
So it's actually going to be interesting. I mean, I think we're seeing that Monaco might be a legitimate team, and the fact that Nice basically destroyed them. I mean, 4-2 is a pretty significant result. Yeah. Maybe Nice is a better team, and we don't know. I mean, with PSG, this is the first Ibra-less PSG. Honestly, they have a good enough team, though, to still do really well. But the real question is, can Cavani keep it up? Apparently, there's a lot of rumors now after the transfer window's closed. You hear about what kind of deals were going to happen. And apparently, they were going to shell out a record fee for Neymar. They were going to do the release clause, which is something like 190 million euros or whatever. And in addition, so obviously the transfer fee is a big deal, but it doesn't really matter too much to the player because it goes to the club.
Right.
What they were going to do is they were going to, as they open up hotels, they were going to give Neymar a percentage of the hotels. Because obviously it's not PSG hotels, it's whoever owns PSG. But he was going to get a percentage of
hotels. Can hotel I stay in the Cavani suite?
That'd be funny if they named him all after that. But he turned it down to stay at Barca, and the reason why that's a big deal is he could be scoring these goals for them. So we'll have to see how Cavani does. And I don't know.
I mean, top league now is Nice with 14 points, PSG and Monaco both with 13, and Bordeaux with 12 now. So we say this every year, and obviously 6 games in is really not that many. But given that Nice has played a couple of the top teams already, it looks like they're going to be a force to be reckoned with this year. And hopefully it will be a much more competitive league than it has been.
Yeah, I don't know when PSG plays Nice. They've already lost to Monaco. So it'll be interesting to see how they do versus Nice. But I don't know. It's hotting up, as the British would say.
There it is.
Okay, then moving into the Bundesliga. So it's kind of going as we expected. So Dortmund, with their, I believe it was a loss a few weeks ago, that was not good in terms of the title race. Munich has kept rolling. So they're still undefeated, 4 wins out of 4. The top of the table with 12 points. Their goal difference is pretty ridiculous. It's plus 13. 14 goals for, 1 goal against. Yeah, I don't even know who scored that.
That's insane.
I think that was this weekend, Ingolstadt. They scored 1 goal, and it actually, so Munich had to come from behind. I think, if I remember correctly, they won like 3-1, but crazy to think they had
over 3 goals a game.
Yeah, so they're... Oh,
can I just point out one thing with Dortmund, though? So their last 3 matches, including Champions League...
Yeah.
17 goals 17. For, 1 against.
It is insane.
17 goals. Like 6-0, 6-0, 5-1. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, like even if these are easy teams, no, like we haven't done that, nor has Real Madrid done that in La Liga. Like that's pretty consistent. And shout out to Christian Pulisic. He's been doing really well.
Yeah.
You know who hasn't scored as much as I thought he would is Aubameyang. I think he scored a brace at the weekend, if I remember correctly. But he hasn't been on fire like he was last year. And that's a big deal in some ways because people thought he was going to be sold last year because he was basically the best striker in the world. Well, okay.
He's got 4 goals this year.
Yeah, it's okay. In no way is it
it's
bad.
Okay. It's
but,
okay.
4 goals in 4 games. Like, only yeah, these teams in Germany exactly. Where you'd say 4 goals in 4 games is like, all right.
And there was some ridiculous stat.
Actually, he's got 4-3.
Oh, shit, really? Yeah. Okay, I'm wrong. Never mind. Don't listen to me. there was some ridiculous stat. So Dortmund is incredibly young. I don't remember why. I don't know if Aubameyang wasn't in because he's like 27. But there was some stat like the entire team was younger than 24 in one of the recent games.
Yeah.
They've bought a lot of young guys and we said Pulisic, he turned 18 over the weekend. They have just a really, really young team, which is good and bad. You don't have experience, but that also shows you're going to have strength and pace, or well, at least pace, because you just have young guys that have stamina.
Mm-hmm.
But it's good to see they're keeping up. One interesting thing that I didn't expect, Cologne is actually in second place. They have more points than Dortmund because they have 0 losses, only 1 draw.
Right.
They don't have as good of a goal difference, but they've only conceded 1 goal as well.
That's impressive.
That is pretty impressive. After 4 games. I don't know if they'll keep it up. I think this is going to be a race between Munich and Dortmund, but
yeah. I mean, and Munich already got the win in the Super Cup in the beginning of the season over Dortmund. So I think that was a good confidence booster going into the season. I don't know when they play each other. I don't think it's for a while. Yeah, it's not till November.
So, I mean, I will say Dortmund is playing well enough that they could probably beat Munich. But Munich, I mean, they're spreading their goals around. Lewandowski's scoring. I mean, I think at the weekend there were 3 different scorers. I think it was Lewandowski, Thiago Alcantara, was it Xabi Alonso? So, like, they're spreading around. They're playing just as good as they've always been. The real question is about depth. Munich typically has more depth, and in a league season, you need to have depth.
Right.
Dortmund gave up a lot of silly games. Also, they lost, like, what was it, 5-1 last year to Munich. So, we'll see what happens. I think it'll still be exciting. Dortmund definitely has a chance, but Munich, I don't know. They look good enough to win the title at this point, so... Moving on.
Okay, so let's jump to the Serie A. So probably expectedly, we have Juve at the top of the table right now, although they are not
Are they a promoted team?
They are not the undefeated team yet so far. They do have one loss, but they've got 12 points. Napoli is currently in second after five games with 11 points. Roma has 10. Chievo Verona has 10. Inter has 10. And Milan. Oh, man. I got to do it. I got to do it. Milan is in sixth place. It's forever. Yeah. We're going to do it. Has 9 points after five games. So all within 3 points of each other. Obviously, you know, super early on right now. The big match, I think, in the last couple weeks has been the 2-1 win that Inter had over Juventus.
Yeah.
At Milan. Icardi and Perisic had the two goals for Inter, and Lichtsteiner had the earlier goal, which was canceled out by Icardi's goal. So that was a huge win for Inter, especially given that Inter and Milan have both been pretty poor in the last few seasons, and to get a win like that over Juventus is pretty big.
But I feel like Inter has spent quite a bit of money, probably more than Milan. You know, there was management shakeup and stuff like that, so I think people expected a little bit more, so I guess this is good for them. I mean, that's a huge result.
Yes.
Juventus, I mean,
anybody taking points off Juventus is
I mean, when's the last time they lost? Big. Besides, like, Champs League and stuff like that.
Did Juventus?
Last year, once they started on that run, did they ever lose?
That's a good question. Yeah, I'm not sure.
I feel like they didn't, probably their first loss in a long time.
Yeah, this is a big hit for them. Napoli also doing off to a good start, have not lost yet, and have 12 goals on the season. So the big question was, where are the goals going to come from this year now that Higuain has gone? And I think Higuain did score last weekend for Juventus. But Callejon has been picking up the slack, 5 goals in 5 games for him. So
he was a good striker. I mean, so he's another striker from Real Madrid, and they have this habit of, like, sending out their young players, and sometimes, like, Morata did really well last year for Juventus. Callejon was good at that time, but I guess he couldn't fit into the strike partnership or trio.
So Roma had a slip up against Fiorentina, lost 1-0 a couple weeks ago, and that's where they have dropped points. Other than that, have had a pretty solid start, minus the early draw against Cagliari in the beginning. Inter, as we mentioned, had that big win against Juventus. Also beat Empoli and Pescara earlier on. Drew to Palermo and lost to Chievo in the beginning of the season. So interestingly enough, so Milan actually has the same kind of trajectory where they had the big loss against Napoli. They had a shaky start against Torino, that 3-2 win that they eked out in the beginning of the season. Then followed up the Napoli loss with disappointing loss against Udinese 1-0, but have since had the 1-0 win over Sampdoria and a big 2-0 win over Lazio. And it's as much as I've critiqued him, man, Bacca has just been the rock. Five goals in 5 games, including the Sampdoria goal that he subbed on late to score the winner for. That was huge. Niang has also been playing very well with the one game he missed a sitter this weekend, though.
Really?
Absolute sitter. Like, cross right to him in the 6-yard box and couldn't get his foot on it.
Sometimes that's harder.
But, I mean, the big thing now.
Didn't he score a penalty?
He did, yeah, which Bacca gave to him, I guess, because he felt bad, which was actually a big goal because we needed to get that 2-point lead. But the big thing is, I mean, both Milan teams, after coming off a disappointing few seasons, started shaky and have now picked up and are now within the 3 points of Juventus, so are both doing pretty well. The other thing I wanted to point out is how young Milan is right now. I saw a stat that the first 5 matches, the average age of the players was 25 years old and 10 months. So under 26 average. I mean, you have Donnarumma, who's super young. You have Romagnoli in the back. You have Niang. And it's good to see all of these youth. The problem that I think is we don't have enough good veteran players to pull them through, right? We don't have the Kaká. We don't have Pirlo. We don't have Gattuso. We don't have, you know, the defenders that we used to have, you know, Maldini to really shepherd these younger players in.
You could probably buy Pirlo back. You could probably come back.
Honestly, probably take him back. But anyway, so it's good to see all of these young players getting opportunities. I think the last match, 8 of the 11 players on the field at one point were Italian players, which is really good to see. And a lot of them being young, we brought in a couple of younger players. Calabria's an outside back who's up and coming. who's taking that, I think, the left back position. So it's good to see a lot of these young players getting chances and then also performing pretty well against some good clubs.
Do you know how El Shaarawy is doing at Roma?
That's a good question, Sean, and I can tell you in a second.
Well, while you look that up, I think one thing that's interesting about the age number is I remember when you started following Milan, or more recently, back when Milan was a little bit better, you had always mentioned how good the medical team at Milan was, because that you guys had players that were really old, but they were essentially playing really well, much past their prime. And it's funny now hearing basically the exact opposite, where it's just full of young people. And it's interesting to see that change. I mean, there are downsides to it, but it's really good to see for the future.
Shaarawy has one goal so far, but that said, the games that I've seen Roma play and the highlights, he's been involved.
Okay.
So I think he's playing pretty well.
I mean, if you're a midfielder, being involved is just as important as scoring goals in a way. Like, if you're putting up assists or creating plays, like, that's important.
They have Perotti with four goals. Dzeko, man. Oh, man. I can't believe it. Four goals Dzeko for him. And Salah has three goals on that side. So they're I think, the top scorers in the league right now.
So, I mean, looking at the table, I mean, it's interesting to see. And the Serie A is weird because it feels like it could be very competitive. It really feels like Napoli, Roma, either the Milans, maybe Fiorentina or Lazio, they can all challenge. But there's always this worry that maybe everybody will fight for like 2 through 5 and Juventus is just going to run away with the title again, because they do. They consistently sell big players. They lost Pogba. They lost Pirlo before.
They picked up Higuain.
Yeah, they pick up other people. I mean, we'll have to see. I mean, I still can't believe they paid, what was it, 90 million for Higuain.
Yep.
But we'll have to see. And my worry is that it's going to be the same thing where Juventus runs away with it. But we don't know. I mean, it's still close. It's still early, but
Higuain's got 4 goals already this season.
Does he really?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, wow. I didn't think he scored that many.
Yeah.
But we'll have to see. And honestly, actually, it's really interesting to see. I think you were talking about this one of the other weeks where there was like a weekend where it was all high scoring in Serie A. It's funny. I mean, if you look at goals against, Juventus has 4, Napoli has 5, Roma has 5, Inter has 5, Milan has 7. Like, they're fairly high considering it's only 5 games when you compare to, like, say, Bayern Munich only gave up 1 goal.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it's interesting to see. I mean, on one end, it means there's more offense. On another end, maybe you
but
can
it's
say
not the
defense.
Typical Italian defending
yeah,
that
not
everybody
at all.
Thinks of, right?
Which is probably more fun to watch, but we'll have to see how this works out. I really hope there's more challenge to Juventus.
I would love to see just a competitive down-to-the-wire season, right? Because even last year when Juventus had the terrible start, they still won. Like,
it is incredible.
They
literally
still pulled away
every
like
game.
10 weeks out of the season.
I can't believe. Like, there was that question. I was like, no, they're not going to keep winning, are they? And then they just did. But I don't know. It'll be an interesting season to watch. I'm glad there are more competitive games, and hopefully Milan can start pushing into, I guess, Europa. I mean, top four will get you
a
chance.
I mean, next year we can just get to, not this year.
Not, oh, yeah, 2018.
Next year. So still need top three for Champs League for next year, and then starting next year,
that's when you
place.
Can qualify.
I think
one.
So, yeah.
Okay. That's a goal.
Something
that's
to
goal.
Build for. Something to build for,
seriously. Okay, now we'll move on to La Liga. So there were actually a couple interesting results that happened, and looking at this table, it's kind of confusing. So the big result a few weeks ago was Barcelona losing to Alaves, a newly promoted side.
Wow.
So it was a 2-1. If
that
I remember
hurts,
correctly,
man. That hurts.
We went behind early on. Rakitic equalized, and then they got another goal late on. There are a couple of reasons why this is a big deal. The obvious one is just that we drop points, which in this league with both Madrid teams, it's really costly to lose any points at all. That was the obvious big deal. The other thing that was a very big deal was that we did a lot of rotations. Neymar was the only one of the starting trio in because Messi had just come back, and so is Suarez. We also changed most of the midfield and some of the back line. So we had a very different team. Even Cillessen was in instead of Ter Stegen. So obviously you can blame it on subs, which is that, if we had our starting lineup, we would have won. But
that's a huge thing, right? I mean, you need squad depth, especially in situations like this where you're missing some of your starred players. And if you don't have replacements who can come on and get results, I mean, that's in a league that's as competitive as Spain, I think it's so important, right?
So you hit the nail on the head. I mean, we basically, all our money over the summer was spent buying second string players or people who aren't going to start. They're going to be on the bench, but have good subs.
Right.
Honestly, the only one who is going to be a starter is probably Umtiti. But Digne, Turan even. I mean, I guess he was before, but Vidal, like a lot of Paco Alcacer. A lot of these players are all bought to be not starters, but to be on the bench.
I mean, who are you going to buy that's better than your starters?
Exactly. That's the tough thing. But the thing is, they kind of started and they clearly didn't show up as well as we needed to. Granted, I think the way you should do rotation is probably a little less stark. You should probably only rotate some players. Like, it was okay. Neymar was in, so front three may be okay, but we really changed up the midfield and the back line. I think that maybe is too many changes, but this is a big deal because the whole reason why we bought them is that our team was too tired towards the end, and we needed these backups to be able to do it, and that's, I don't know, that's not good. Then a couple weeks later, so moving in, Atletico Madrid didn't have a very good start at all. They had a couple 0-0 draws. Finally, they got their scoring boots on. They had a couple 4-0 and 5-0 wins, which really helped them. So they're moving up the table. Real Madrid, interestingly enough, so they hadn't lost a single game. They were on a 16-game winning streak, which tied the record in La Liga, which was the Barcelona side. I believe it was 2010, 2011. Mm. And so if they had won during the midweek game, they would have beaten that record. They ended up drawing 1-1 to Villarreal. It was a good game. Villarreal showed up in the first half. The second half was definitely more Real Madrid. It was actually funny because Sergio Ramos, God. So the first goal of the game, Villarreal went ahead 1-0 because of a PK. Ramos did this exact same thing in last game as well. So he put his hands up. It was a clear hand ball. He blocked it, but then he put his hands on his face to make it seem like he had been hit in the face. So last week or whatever, the game before this, he got away with it. It clearly hit his hands, but the ref didn't see it. They thought he got hit in the face, so they ended up giving the free kick to Real Madrid. This week, they caught it. It was a PK. They scored a freaking Panenka, which is pretty ballsy to do at the Bernabeu. But anyway, then at the start of the second half, Ramos made up for it. He ended up scoring a pretty good header. He was almost on mark. Like, it was pretty bad.
You know who their top strikers are right now?
Who?
Bale with two and Ramos with two. it's interesting to see how many players have scored goals right now. I mean, they have, like, what, 10 players, I think, at least, that have scored goals so far? I mean, it's spread out across
the
team.
So this is the crazy thing about Real Madrid. They had a lot of injuries starting in. So Jesus Navas has been out. Ronaldo has been out. Benzema has been out. They switched up a lot. Also, last game, Casemiro went out, which you might not know his name. You might not know who he is, but he is a very important player for them because Real Madrid right now has too many attacking players. They have James Rodriguez, they have Toni Kroos, they have Luka Modric, and the thing is, you can't just have attacking players. You need somebody in the middle to control the midfield, and that's who Casemiro was. So that is, in a weird way, one of their problems, but they've actually done really well because their bench, they have Morata, who did so well last year for Juventus. And then Marco Asensio, who is looking like he's going to be the next star. He's looking incredibly good. And so the weird thing is, Real Madrid has not, in my opinion, looked good in the first number of weeks. But they've won basically every game. The only game they lost points was this midweek game, oddly enough, when Ronaldo and Benzema started. They had the BBC back in.
Yep.
But it's weird. I think they clearly show that they have depth because they won game after game without their starting trio. But I will say, and whatever, I mean, maybe this is the Barcelona fan in me, I don't, like, a lot of the games weren't one-sided. They just ended up finishing the goals that they needed to finish. So it seemed like they were the better team in most games. Like, when they played Espanyol, it was a 2-0 victory, but Espanyol clearly could have had a couple goals.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, this is one general thing that I've noticed, and it sounds like an obvious thing, but it really isn't. I think lower-level teams, it really comes down to finishing. Like, actually, we'll get into this maybe when we talk to...
Like, you're only going to have a couple chances, but if you take them and you're playing against, you know, not a strong Madrid who's only going to score one or two goals in that game, it makes a big difference.
It's weird because you would think it'd be hard to set up goals, but no, there are clear chances. I mean, we'll probably talk, when we're talking about the Premier League, there were some teams that played some of the Manchester clubs, and it's like, man, if you could just finish this one easy goal, you could change the game. But that's not what they did, and you just expect people to score. So that's really what it came down to. So then finally, the really big match was midweek game at the Camp Nou. Atletico Madrid versus Barcelona. Home game for us. Essentially the first big test for us. It ended up being 1-1. So I think we were definitely the better team, but it doesn't matter because Atletico Madrid knows how to play this game. They know how to play defensively. That's what they did the whole game. To be totally honest, Oblak didn't have that many saves to make because they were cutting out our crosses and blocking shots before it even got to Oblak. There were definitely chances we should have had, like Neymar had a breakaway. I believe PK had a shot he should have had. Yeah. But they ended up getting the draw. So Umtiti was out to start this. So Mascherano had to start. You think, not a big deal. Mascherano has been our starting guy. But in the goal, what ended up happening was Angel Correa, I think, he subbed on. He ended up, if I remember correctly, he nutmegged PK, and then Mascherano had him, and Mascherano slipped completely on the floor, slipped. Correa had a really good shot to the bottom left corner. It got by Ter Stegen, and it ended up being 1-1, and that's all they needed.
Yeah.
A bigger deal is that Busquets and Messi went out injured.
Yeah.
Messi, it sounds like he's going to be out for 3 weeks. It's the same groin injury he had before.
Yep.
So this is really worrying because he's had such a good injury record in the past. I hope this isn't like a bigger thing. Also,
he's getting up there, man. He's what, 29 now?
He's 29. Yeah. So you expect to see these kind of things. Yeah. But it's worse, I feel like, when it's recurring. Luckily, it's not like he broke his leg or something.
You have Sporting, Mönchengladbach in the Champions League, Celta Vigo, Deportivo in the next few games.
I think the tough thing is, I think they're all away games. I don't know about the Mönchengladbach.
The next three games, yeah, that's away too, yeah.
So we have to keep that consistency. Honestly, if we're playing well, Suarez and Neymar can make up for Messi, but we have to see that consistency.
But like I said, I mean, in a league that's so competitive, when you have three teams who are just so dominant, every single point is going to make a huge difference. So
I totally agree.
One of those next couple games might make all the difference at the end of the year.
So we'll have to see what happens. And I think Messi is also a big talisman. Granted, I would much rather him be injured at the beginning of the year rather than later in the year. And to be totally honest, I've said this consistently. If we can't win without Messi, considering the players we have, I feel like we have probably a better squad than we did in our golden years, like 2009 to 2012. Honestly, we don't deserve to win the league. I really believe that. I still, in the same way with Champs League, if you can't beat the best teams, I don't think you deserve to win it.
Yep.
So same thing goes for that. But I don't know. We'll see. I think things are looking okay. We've scored a number of goals. So
I also want to point out Griezmann, 4 goals, 4 games so far.
Griezmann, he's really good. He's always been good. Atleti has spread around the love. I think Torres has scored a couple as
well. 2 goals, yep.
So we'll see with them. A couple other big things to talk about La Liga. I always focus on the top three, but right now, Seville, I believe they're unbeaten. They're actually in second place. So if you look at the table, Madrid is on top with 13 points.
Yep, no losses.
No losses. Their draw, which prevented them from getting the record, is what kept them, I guess, not on pace. But Seville is in second place with 11 points.
No losses.
No losses. We're in third place with 10 points. One and then loss. Atletico Madrid has 9 points.
0 losses. Yeah. And also, Villarreal has 0 losses.
Yeah, so this is drawn 3. It's pretty interesting. The other really interesting thing to look at is Valencia. So Valencia is one of the big clubs. If you take out the top three, you really want to look at Seville, Villarreal, and Valencia. And Valencia, they've had a really poor run of form last year. They were the ones who had Gary Neville, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, Neville. And he got a lot of flack for losing so many games in a row. But it sounds like this is a bigger problem than just the manager. So before this game, they had 4 straight losses. They had 0 points, which is unprecedented for them. It's, I think, the worst start they've ever had.
They weren't against the bigger teams either.
No, it wasn't the bigger teams. But the thing is, they were actually playing okay. Sometimes they lost after being ahead, and they didn't look bad, but it doesn't matter. 4 losses is a lot. They finally got a win, but they're still in the red zone. Is that what you call it? They're in the drop zone. Yeah, red zone is American football. So they're still not looking great. They ended up firing their manager. I don't know who's going to take his place, which is crazy because it's only been 4 matches and they already fired their manager.
Yeah.
That's a lot of unrest. And they're also an interesting club because they're another club that was bought. Peter Lim owns them, and it's kind of one of those singular owner kind of thing. He has a lot of control and investment in the club, so hopefully they start doing better. I don't know what's going on at that club, but we'll have to see what comes out in the next couple weeks. I need to check when the Madrid derby is. I'm not sure when that's coming up, but we'll have to see what happens in this and how it's affected by Champions League and stuff like that.
Yep. All right, so let's look at the English Premier League. So looking at the table now, it is Manchester City with 5 wins in 5 games, 15 points. Everton, second place.
Heck yeah.
That's what the Kippers do. The Blue Kippers. Everything. How many nicknames do they have? Only one loss so far, 13 points. Tottenham Hotspur, also undefeated. So 3 undefeated teams so far, with 2 draws, have 11 points. Arsenal back and forth with 10. Chelsea with 10. Liverpool with 10. Manchester United in 9th. Some other notables. Leicester's down in 11th with 7 points. Had a really rough start so far. And yeah. So let's dive into some of the team results. I mean, the big match over the last couple weeks undoubtedly has been Manchester Derby, one of the probably the best fixtures, at least in the last few years, yeah, since City has really come up.
Well, actually, we should say, so once City came up, this was the biggest fixture. And then I would say the last 3 years, United has basically been terrible. And City hasn't, they haven't felt great. So actually, the past couple derbies have been kind of shitty games.
Yeah.
So this was a much better, yes, much, much better game.
So De Bruyne opened up the scoring in the 15th minute. Iheanacho, and I want to talk more about him.
Yeah, we have a lot.
Iheanacho in the 36th minute to put it up 2-0. Ibrahimovic had a really nice goal. Also had another chance that he completely messed up. Didn't even get the shot off, right? But anyway, Ibra got one back in the 42nd. No goals in the second half. Manchester City gets all the points. And it was at Old Trafford.
Yeah, which is a big deal. And so there was a lot of question of who's going to win. I think there are a lot of people leaning United's way just because they obviously have a very solid squad, and it was at Old Trafford.
Yeah.
It's interesting. Honestly, looking at the game, the first half, without a doubt, was dominated by City. De Bruyne was absurd. He was just so good. And honestly, the goal scored by Ibra, incredible finish. If you watch in slow-mo, curve is ridiculous.
It's so nuts.
But truthfully, it was a mess up by Claudio Bravo.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
If he had caught the ball,
a terrible game.
It's really amazing to me
that Man United did not at least get a draw from this.
Because,
in the air, Bravo was absolute shit. For that goal was a result of him grabbing the ball and then dropping it.
Yeah, he dropped it.
And then I think he did that again. That led to a second chance.
Are you talking about the Rooney one with the tackle? So what ended up happening, if I remember correctly, because now it's been a couple weeks, but he ended up receiving the ball. He tried to play out, his touch was poor. So Rooney pounced on that and he ended up tackling him. There's a question of whether or not it should be a PK. I kind of don't think it should have been a PK. He got the ball, and the question of studs up, that could be a big question. But either way, it didn't end up being a PK, so it doesn't matter. They scored a second, and City ends up winning it. In my opinion, honestly, Bravo, there was a lot of question of this. I can't believe we're starting on this, but starting Bravo over Hart and Hart being left out.
Yep.
Honestly, I think this is nerves. I mean, let's be honest, Bravo has played in, and this is not trying to be an ass, but Bravo's played in bigger games than Hart will probably ever play, because he's won 2 Copa Americas with Chile, and he's obviously won titles with Barcelona. And interestingly enough, I genuinely really like Hart, so it's really disappointing to see him leave. But apparently, the first game with Torino, he was the reason for the first goal, because he also bungled something.
Yeah.
I think he's done well a little bit better now. Yeah. But both of them, I think it's really a question of nerves, and this is a big game to start. But either way, City looked like the better team. And a lot of players, and this is the story, we'll get into this more, but we'll start with City. City has just looked excellent. The games after that, they had a 4-0 victory versus Bournemouth. Another thing,
2-1 win over Swansea away, yeah.
They've just looked incredible. Well, that was the cup, right?
That was the cup.
But so in the league, they've looked unstoppable. And De Bruyne, he was good in the past, but now he looks really, really good. Sterling has done. I was totally negative on Sterling last year. I thought he was a bad buy. They paid too much for him. He looks so much better. And then you were mentioning last year, the story of the year was Rashford. But
which is incredible to me, because Iheanacho had 8 goals. He subbed on a lot of games, but had 8 goals last season, which I'm pretty sure it was more than Rashford had.
8 goals is a lot of goals.
Yeah, and he's already got a couple this season.
And he's looked good. And I think the other thing, and I actually think this is very much a Pep thing, there is no selfishness. For example, in this game, I'm pretty sure it was in the Bournemouth game, there's one...
He's got three assists already this season.
Who, Iheanacho? So it's the same thing. So Sterling was on goal. He could have just shot it. He went to the open pass, which is always the smarter thing. He ended up passing to Iheanacho. It was actually a kind of a tough finish, but he ended up finishing it. Same thing in reverse. They ended up doing that. De Bruyne has been unselfish, and that makes a big deal because yeah. there are times where that one goal makes a difference. If you shoot, you don't have the angle where somebody else does. I mean, this is clearly the Pep effect. I think players are playing real well. Even the back line, like Stones is doing really well. And man, Fernandinho is playing better. I mean, everybody. And the biggest thing I have to say, the past couple weeks, including the Manchester Derby, they've been without arguably the three most important players of past years. Sergio Aguero, yep. David Silva, yep. and Vincent Kompany. Yep. Kompany for his leadership, and he's good in the back line. He's big and strong. He hasn't been playing because I believe injury. Sergio Aguero has been out because of his red card.
Torre hasn't been playing.
Torre, though, we knew he wasn't going to play. But yeah, when he was playing, he was incredibly important.
He was a big part of that team.
He was. And then Silva, is it injury? I don't actually remember why Silva's out. I think it's injury. But Silva has been out. Like, this is insane that they're doing this well with some people would consider backups. I mean, Iheanacho is definitely considered a backup last year. Yeah. Last year, there's always a question of if Aguero's out, who's going to score? Like, who could possibly score? Aguero's been out, and it's all been everybody else. It's been spread around.
Yeah, so, I mean, on the flip side is United, right? And I think this was the one criticism I had in the beginning of the year was that they did not do enough on defense. They did not make enough moves in the summer to fortify defense, and I think that's really, really showing now. They've given up 6 goals this season, but it's just – I think the United Derby – or, sorry, the Manchester Derby was the highlight of how poor the passing was. Yeah. They couldn't get it out of the backfield. The passing between defense – I think – was it the De Bruyne goal came because of just like poor passing
around
the backfield?
Yeah, he pounced on that, I think.
I mean, it's clearly that's what they needed to shape up, I think, after last season. And they did not make enough moves over the summer. And so, you know, they got to wait till January now to try to pick up some defenders. But I think that's where they're going to hurt them.
But I would say even in addition to that, there are question marks. And people are saying it's coaching. You really don't know if it's players or coaching. Pogba has not been nearly as good as he used to be, and a lot of people are saying because he has to play such a big defensive role because nobody's there to have his back.
Right.
So he has to play both sides more, and that doesn't allow him to get forward more. Ibra has been incredibly consistent. He's been scoring after scoring. He's had some misses, and I think one kind of issue, if you can say, he's not very mobile, but honestly, he's scored some really good goals. I think he's been on the money. A lot of people are talking about Rooney. He's probably the biggest story right now. If it's not Mourinho, people are saying Rooney needs to be benched, and honestly, Mourinho's already benched some big players like Schweinsteiger, even though he was terrible last year. Schweinsteiger is a very respected player, so to completely bench him, that's a big thing.
One goal, 2 assists in 5 games for Rooney so far.
But I think more than the stats, it's the way he's played. I don't think he's done very well.
To Mourinho's credit, though, if there's a coach who's going to bench whoever the fuck he wants, it's him.
Well, that's what people were saying. That's why people are surprised he hasn't benched Rooney yet. He did play in the midweek game in the Carling Cup or whatever, but it's the Carling Cup. That's actually exactly where a player
against
Rooney
Northampton
should play.
Yeah. But before this, I mean, it was 3 straight losses, right?
Yeah.
If you include Europa League, because they lost to Manchester City 2-1. Feyenoord, they lost 1-0 in the Europa League, and then 3-1 to Watford last week.
Yeah, and first of all, my understanding is this is the first time he's lost 3 in a row since Porto.
The 3-year curse is up. That's it. It's 1 year now.
And I think the bigger worry is, I think it's okay to lose if you look better.
Right.
Like, for example, the Feyenoord game, it was an offside goal. They should have called it. But man, you didn't look great. Like, it probably would have been just a 0-0 draw otherwise. Manchester City was definitely the better team in the Derby. United looked better in the second half, but still, they were the better team. And Watford should have had 4. They were in the early part of the game. I mean, there was an open net that, what's his name, Ighalo? I think he missed, and De Gea admittedly messed it up.
Yeah.
But the real question is, how are they going to bounce back from that? I think Pogba has to step up, do better. They have to figure out Rooney. Also, the stars of last year, Rashford and Martial. Martial hasn't really done well at all. Rashford has scored some important goals, but they were scrappy goals. Like, they weren't, like, really, they weren't United goals. I mean, whatever. If you're scoring goals, you're scoring goals. But I don't think they've looked nearly as good as they looked last
year. So, they've got the next match coming up against Leicester City, which is interesting because Leicester also is not, coming off their improbable victory last year. Have not had the greatest start of the season, just lost 4-2 to Chelsea in the cup. Although, you know, they're coming off bigger wins against Burnley, against Bruges in the Champions League. They got hammered by Liverpool 4-1. But anyway,
I think Leicester has something to prove. So this will be interesting.
It's going to be at United, to United's benefit. But I think that's a big, big, big game for both sides, right? Yeah. I mean, both of them really need to just turn around their start to the season, and this is the game to kick it off on.
Yeah, because I mean, on the form City's on, I calculated it. This was, I think, before. I don't remember if it was last week or this week. Basically, if Man City keeps their form, they are going to have a ridiculous goal difference. I think they were something like 15 goals and 4 conceded. Mm-hmm. It's crazy. If they do that, they could have they could win the league in amazing fashion. To be fair, though, they started 5-0 last year as well, but I don't think they looked the same.
Yeah.
And another thing to mention, I will say, I've always been critical of Mourinho. I mean, clearly, he's an amazing coach, and he finds ways to turn around teams. But one thing I really don't like is the way his personality sometimes shows, and it's a little crazy. He's already started calling out some of his players in the press. He made a comment about Luke Shaw, very clearly saying it. Yeah. And there's one thing to throw your players under the bus, but this is like kind of early to be doing that. So I'm a little disappointed about that, but we'll see. No matter what, they're going to come back in some fashion. It's really the question of, are they going to come back enough to start beating City? And I don't know. We'll have to see.
So the other thing I want to highlight quickly before we close off Premier League is Everton.
Yeah.
Sean's team. Lukaku.
Well, let's go into a lot of teams. Yeah. So Everton.
Lukaku, 4 goals so far. 3 games started, 1 subbed on. So pretty good strike record.
Yeah.
Their
only draw is to Tottenham, and it's Tottenham. First game of the season. And I think they looked better in certain parts of the game. I mean, Koeman, sure there'd be some change. I think at the Martinez reign, it had started tapering off.
Yeah.
And I had said this from last year. We have a lot of good attacking players. So last year, it was weird how poor we were. Because, I mean, we have Barkley, we have Lukaku, we have Deulofeu. I don't know, Mirage sometimes does it well. We have a lot of really good attacking players. Also, I have to have a shout-out. I think it's Ghana. We have a midfielder that was bought over the summer, and he's been doing really well. Almost sounds like Conte. He's just been working.
I mean, outside of the Tottenham game, though, you haven't really been tested, right? So
yeah,
West Brom, true. Stoke, Sunderland, Middlesbrough. So you have a few. You still have Bournemouth and Crystal Palace coming up before you face Chelsea. Manchester City. Although to be fair, all of your big matches against the top teams are fairly spread out until later on in the season. So
I mean, I don't expect top four, but this shows
this is how you build momentum in the beginning, get those points in the belt, and then just go on from there, right?
And I mean, it's the same thing. Some of the big clubs are losing bad games. So I guess Tottenham has been okay. I mean, they're still in third place, but they don't look like they have the momentum they had last year. We really thought they didn't make any big buys in the summer, but you felt like they should have I love the Leicester one, but in a way, Tottenham had the strength to win the title last year, and they didn't. So people thought, okay, they're probably going to challenge again. And I don't know if they're at that level yet. I mean, they're still in third, so you can't really discount them, but I don't think they've shown the quality they showed last year. And then Arsenal, I mean, I really mean this at this point. I don't know if there's – I'm sorry to all the Gunner fans. I don't know if there's a point of even talking about them because, they're in fourth, which is great. But that's what – they're always top four. Yeah. They always do that, and I don't think they've looked amazing. They've lost some important games.
They drew to PSG
in
the Champions League.
And that was comeback. Good. Admittedly, PSG, Cavani missed a lot of shots, or a lot of open shots, so PSG should have won that. But, hey, my understanding is I didn't watch the game, but they could have come back, and they could have won the game in the second half.
They've got Chelsea coming up this weekend, too.
Yeah. So then the next team in fifth place is Chelsea. So Chelsea is an interesting team, especially because they ran away with the league 2 years ago. Last year was their worst season in recent memory. I mean, it wasn't just outside the top four. They were like, bottom half, I think.
For a while.
It was really bad. Come in with Conte, and he had to bench. He had to figure out his team. Fabregas has been playing on the bench, which is a big deal because he was an important part of their team. I think right now we still don't know what team this is.
Yep.
They've eked out wins. Costa has done really well. Like, he scored those goals. Eden Hazard has not. He's played better, but he's not at that. He was like the star of the Premier League. He's not at that level. People have said, you know, the best Belgian in the league is De Bruyne, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
So the most recent big game they had was versus Liverpool, and Liverpool ended up winning 2-1. And I think Liverpool was the clear winner. I mean, Diego Costa got one goal back, but Liverpool was definitely the better team. And this is the thing. We really don't know who this Conte team is yet. I don't think... They don't look like title contenders. They look decent. They look better than last year, but I don't see them doing that well. And then there's Liverpool. So Liverpool, I think they've looked really good. They had this really weird loss versus Burnley, yeah. And this highlights the problem is their defense, but they're always going to score.
Yep.
Clearly, they're just scoring. But honestly, even their defense has looked pretty good. They've done okay. I mean,
they've already beaten Arsenal.
Yep.
They've drew Tottenham. They beaten Leicester.
And they should have beaten Tottenham.
Yep. They beat Leicester 4-1, and they beat Chelsea already.
Like, that's, I mean, aside from City and United, that's basically all the big boys.
Yeah.
Liverpool looks really good. I still am hesitant to say they're title contenders, but who knows? I mean, they might be better than Man U. I don't actually know. And I was saying to you earlier, I actually think, so you look at the big story of this year was managerial changes. Yeah. So we have Conte, Klopp is starting his first real year where he got a full summer. You have Pep, you have Mourinho. I mean, Pochettino stayed, but you're seeing these new coaches and we're seeing how it's going to be. And I would actually argue that Klopp has had the best season so far. Now, City is definitely playing the best football. So Pep, if he's not in first, he's in second place among the coaches. The only reason why I say Klopp is doing a better job, I honestly think so. So the two Manchester clubs had a bigger thing to change, but United has a ton of money. They clearly spent it. So that's how Mourinho changed things. City also spent a lot of money, and I would argue they had one of the best squads last year as well. So they didn't have as much to change. Liverpool, in my opinion, still doesn't have a very strong squad. If you would look at their best players by far, it's probably Coutinho and Mane. Mm-hmm. Like, these guys are not, they're very good, but I don't think they're the best of the best. They're not on like the Aguero level or Pogba or something like that. So the fact that this squad is doing as well as they're doing shows a lot about the coaching. And after the Chelsea win, they were all hugging Klopp. It's exactly what you imagine. They seems like they really like him. So it'll be interesting to watch. And I don't know. I think if I had to revise my top, I might put Liverpool in second. I think City's still in pole position to be in first place.
Yep.
I don't think Everton can keep it up. This sounds terrible. I can't believe I'm giving props to Liverpool as an Everton fan. But to be honest, I think Klopp has shown that he can do some really good work. And United is still, we'll still have to see. One quick thing I also want to mention, Stoke City. I was really excited for them last year because they had some really good attacking talent. They're sitting on 1 point.
Yeah.
4 losses, 1 draw. That's really bad. So we'll have to see what happens. Hopefully they can turn it around, but it's a little disappointing to see, but I don't know. Same thing with Leicester. I really hope they start turning it around. They're in 11th right now, so hopefully we'll see something happen.
All right. All right, one more to go. So we have the Champions League to go over. We had one round, one game played for each team, so we'll go group by group and break it down. Let's start with Group A. So PSG 1-1 to Arsenal. Cavani in the first minute.
Yeah. As we talked about earlier, I think PSG was a better team. This was in France.
Yes.
So it's a good point for Arsenal, to be honest. And I mean, let's be honest, they're probably going to be the top two. But having the top spot can be the difference between facing, you know, like Bayern Munich or facing, I don't know, Seville or something like that. So it could be a big point. This is another thing where it's like PSG, clearly they're still a great team. When you look at their squad, they're stacked.
Right.
But when Cavani's not finishing, that's not good. And they don't, I don't know if they have enough strikers to replace Ibra. So I don't know. We'll see what works out.
Basel 1-1 draw against Ludogorets. So that means 1 point for everyone in the group so far. So Tied up. Interesting. Though that said, you know, the top expected two teams have already played each other. So I'm sure that'll play out. Let's move on to Group B. Napoli with a 2-1 win over Dinamo Kiev. Good start for Napoli. Milic had 2 goals, so it's good. I mean, Italian teams need to do well, less so than they needed to a few months ago. But
go fishing, man. Yeah,
but it's good. It's good to see Italian teams doing well, getting a good start. Benfica and Besiktas played out to a 1-1 draw in that group. So that leaves Napoli up top.
Yeah, good for them.
Group C, oh man. So we have Barcelona and City. Both had huge wins, combined 11-0. Most of that went to Barcelona, 7-0. Messi with a hat trick, Neymar, Iniesta, and Suarez all with goals. Suarez had two.
So this is one of those. So this was the weekend. So this was the midweek game after the Alaves loss, and we were pissed. So
yeah,
we were
just clearly.
Like, screw this. We're taking out. I mean, it
poor Scottish team.
It could have been more than seven. It probably could have been 10. It was bad. I think. Yeah. The other crazy thing is Celtic is in first place, and I believe they beat Rangers. So Celtic is clearly the best team in Scotland. Admittedly, like, yeah, okay, Barcelona is clearly a better team. So you're going to see that loss, but. Never but good
Celtic,
when it's
7-0. Celtic usually makes a good
they
run
beat
of
us
teams.
Yeah. Not last year, I don't think, but 2 years ago.
Yeah.
7-0 is kind of maybe the bigger surprise to a degree is a City win. I mean, okay. City,
yes, Aguero with a hat trick and Iheanacho, my boy, with a goal there too in the 91st minute. So over Mönchengladbach, who
I don't know what place they are, but they're traditionally a decent team.
Yeah.
So that's a very convincing win. It'll be really interesting. Barca versus City, another trip for Pep back to the Camp Nou reverse. So it'll be interesting to watch. But this group, I think we know what's going to happen.
Yeah, I think so too. Let's move on to Group D. Bayern Munich, huge win over Rostov from from Russia. 5-0 win. Lewandowski with a goal. Müller with a goal. Kimmich with a goal. Two goals. And Bernat with a goal.
Yeah, those defenders, man. Yeah, they're figuring out their... But, I mean, whatever. I mean,
expected,
Rostov,
right?
Yeah.
But... A decently strong group, right? So we have PSV and Atletico Madrid also in that group.
Yep.
Atletico got a 1-0 win. So 3 points for them.
Grinded that shit out.
Honestly, though, that game against PSV is big.
Yeah.
Because PSV, I think, will at least challenge those teams a little bit, at least more than Rostov did. So it's a good 3 points.
Rusty Rostov.
Moving on to Group E, Bayer Leverkusen, 2-2 to CSKA Moscow. So drop points for Bayer Leverkusen, I think.
I guess, yeah. Yeah, Leverkusen isn't doing that well this year, but it's still, yeah.
And then the other...
And CSKA Moscow was actually the pot one team.
That's right.
Because they must
be
champions.
Drop points for CSKA Moscow, then.
Yeah.
Monaco and Tottenham, this is a pretty good group. This is an interesting group. This is an interesting group. So Monaco and Tottenham played a 2-1 win for Monaco, which puts them top of the group after the first game.
So, I mean, I think we talked about this before when the Champions League draw came out. I mean, there's two ways of looking at difficult groups. There's one saying, where is the hardest team, like your Munichs, Madrids, and Barca's. The other way to look at it, where is the most even teams? And I think we talked about it. I think this could be, in a way, the group of death because we don't know who's going to come out. And I think the surprise, in a way, is Monaco seems to be looking better than we thought. Mm-hmm. A little disappointing. Tottenham, I mean, they're back in Champs League. But, I mean, for Premier League fans. But, honestly, Monaco's a good side. So, you lose, you lose.
Group F, we had Madrid with a 2-1 win over Sporting.
But, huge asterisk.
Yeah.
So, this was in Portugal.
Yes.
I didn't watch the game, but my understanding is a lot of people have said this.
Bruno Cesar with a goal in the 48th, Ronaldo in the 89th, and the winner for Morata in the 95th.
And so it wasn't one of those Real Madrid had 14 shots on target, but they just missed them all, or like they saved them all. My understanding was Sporting was the better team for a good 75 minutes, but the last 15 minutes, and when we talked about finishing earlier, when you're a team like Real Madrid, you can finish that. But yeah, I believe it was a free kick that was really good by Ronaldo, and then Morata finished it off. A little disappointing for Sporting, but this goes back to, I mean, part of it is my bias, but Real Madrid is kind of shaky at times. I mean, Sporting is not a great side. Granted, it was away for Real Madrid, but whatever. They ended up getting the 3 points, so... Kudos to them.
Borussia Dortmund, 6-0 win over Legia Warsaw in the Polish Army Stadium in Poland.
Dortmund, I mean,
expected.
I can't wait to see the Madrid versus Dortmund.
Which
I hope
is
Dortmund
the next
smashes
game.
Them.
The next game.
But we'll have to see. Do you know if it's at Dortmund? Or...
It is at Dortmund next game.
Come on.
Moving on. This is Group G with Leicester City getting a 3-0 win. Good start to their first Champions League campaign,
victory.
Right? So Albrighton and Mahrez getting two goals there. Over Club Bruges, and then we had Porto and Copenhagen playing out to a 1-1 draw, which is interesting because Leicester actually looks pretty good right now. Porto dropping points, I think, is pretty big.
Yeah, because they've actually done really well. They had another big game, but I think somewhere there is a Leicester fan who's been with them since the beginning or whenever they could, and they're like, a Champs League win.
I think it's
never
more than
thought.
I think it's more than that.
Yeah, but Leicester, for them to win a Champions League win, I mean, it's not a big team. That's crazy.
I think they have a better chance than not of getting out of this group.
Without a doubt. Oh, no. I think they can top the group.
Yeah.
Who do you think will be in second place if they top?
I would think Porto, right?
Yeah, it's got to be Porto. But honestly, Leicester, I mean, I think it's weird. They've had a bad start, and that's what changed my mind a bit. But honestly, last year, I think they had a decent team. It's really disappointing this year. I mean, I don't think Conte should have made as big of a difference. But I think they're a good enough team to be considered in one of the better lower tier teams. So I think they're better than Porto.
All right, moving on to Group H. We have Lyon with a 3-0 win to start their Champions League season over Dinamo Zagreb. And then we also had Juve playing out to a 0-0 draw against Sevilla at home in Turin.
Yeah, that's kind of a big result. I didn't watch it, so I can't say who was who. Sevilla is good this year, so it's not unusual to see them do okay. They are also, so people were making the joke that maybe Sevilla wants to lose, so they'll go back to the Europa League and win it again.
Oh, that's funny.
Because so they have some record. I think it's three Europa wins. And so they're obviously a good side. It's still clearly Juventus is the better side. So it's a little disappointing to see at home they didn't win. But I don't know. Good for them. We'll have to see how it goes. And I actually want to see, because looking at that group, so that could go in a lot of different ways too. But looking at the table right now, I think Lyon is in seventh in Ligue 1. So they're actually not that far off the top. So, because I'm trying to figure out, I don't actually know how good they are this year. They weren't very good last year. Well, nobody was really good last year except for PSG. So this is still, this result particularly means this is an open group. Because, I mean, Seville could pull out some wins. Lyon could, and Juventus could do that as well. So we'll have to see. This is another interesting group. I think this is, I don't know, it feels different. I feel like there are more groups with big matchups than there have been in the past, but maybe I'm wrong. But I feel like there are a lot of games that are going to be interesting to watch. Yeah. And I don't know when the next set of games are. But
next
week. Next week. Yeah, so end of September. So can't wait for that.
Yeah.
Okay, so that'll do it. We hope
That was a lot. That was a lot of
football to go over. We're glad you stuck with us. So you can catch us on thecommentist.com, where you can find some other great podcasts on there, such as
The Bearded Unwind, Vegans,
The Unwind,
Roll the Hit,
Sky on Fire,
and this show,
and this show. You can also find us on iTunes. Just look us up, and please rate and subscribe. Maybe leave a comment, say what you want. If you're really disappointed that Dave isn't here, I can understand. We promise we'll have him back. But we hope you
watch. I think Porto's home game, and who's the other Portuguese team that he's going to see in the Champions League? We just talked about them.
Sporting.
Yeah, watch Sporting Champions League. He's sitting in the center. So you might see Dave. Not that anybody knows what he looks like.
He's got a kiss. Well, we're going to have to make him wear a kiss crest.
Oh, I know.
We should have made a jersey or something like that.
It could have been on TV.
Well, we don't know. But anyway, he'll probably be shouting or something like that.
Yeah.
But we hope you'll listen in next week.
Thanks.